number one news and talk station.
Without a doubt, one of the big issues in our country or facing our country is ability to evolve when it comes to transport. And October is Transport Month in South Africa. And so we continue to probe and ask questions to those relevant individuals that have the know-how. They know what the problems are, but it's not just about knowing the problems. It's about knowing what the solutions are to the different problems that we have. Joining me this morning then is Stephan Krijgsman, who is Associate Professor of Transport and Economics at Stellenbosch University. A very good morning to you, Stephan. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Evs. Fine, and yourself?
Thank you so much for joining us. Absolutely fantastic. Thank you. But, you know, whenever we talk transport in South Africa, I think it's one of those topics where so many of us, you just sigh. Because in so many ways, we feel that it's one of those things that has failed, you know, with our country. And I mean, just speaking to you in general now, even before we get into the interview, we look into South Africa. Can we ever get better when it comes to transport?
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting question that you ask. And, you know, the fact that we're up at this time and people are already commuting to work is a bit of a shock. The problem with transport is really to do with our very inefficient cities. You know, we've got sprawling cities, big spatial apartheid standing cities, and that spatial form is still in existence today. And you know, people travel long distances. Poor people live on the urban periphery. They have to get to town to work. They pay an excessive amount of money to get to jobs. And I think that is the problem. If we can alter or change our cities, transport will fall into place.
And talking to that, Prof, according to the Western Cape Provincial Traffic Department, at least 5 people died in accidents this weekend. 28 drunken drivers arrested, of which one of them was 6 times over the limit. Another motorist was arrested on Saturday for driving at an average speed of 169 kilometers per hour in 120 kilometer per miles. A speed limit road. This is on the N1 outside Beaufort West. A two-part question then. Why are we this reckless on our roads? And secondly, why is the law not harsher on traffic violations?
Yeah, you know, there's a pity. South Africa continues to be faced with this accident statistics year after year. And I think at last estimate, we are roughly number 25 in the world in terms of accident rates. But there's really 3 reasons, and I think it has to do with speed, driving behavior, and policing. Now, a few people will know this, but we are one of the only countries in the world where you are allowed to travel at 60 kilometers an hour in urban areas and in streets, or you know, normal neighborhood streets, where you share the road space with pedestrians and cyclists. In the UK, or most of Europe, in fact, you drive at 45 to 50 kilometers an hour. On our highways, we travel at 120. You know, should we be allowed to travel at 120 in a country where we have a big pedestrian population? But you also mentioned driving behavior. I think that is really a big issue. We have the new demerit system. And maybe that system will go a long way to address the problems. You know, currently people pay their fines or they don't even pay their fines and continue with that behavior. And then we need a bit more policing, I think, or very effective policing, I should say. If we can address that, then maybe we're on the right way.
It's 16 minutes past 5. Good morning to you. You're listening to the Early Breakfast Show on Cape Talk. October is Transport Month in South Africa. We speak to Associate Professor of Transport Economics at Stellenbosch University, that is Stephan Krijgsman, about the issues and problems and solutions, you know, of the future of transport around the world and how it fits into the South African context. 021-446-0567. That is the number that you can dial. What are some of the things you think we need to do as in South Africa to better our transport system? Now, Prof, we may sit here, and I think as South Africans, we're very good at one thing. We're very good at preaching doom and gloom. We do that very well. No one can challenge us on that. But surely there's something that we're doing right.
There's a couple of things. You know, we are doing right. And one should not underestimate, I know the taxi industry, the minibus taxi industry, do not always feature, but maybe that is a homegrown solution that, with appropriate regulation, can solve some of our problems. they're not doing everything right, but they are providing transport, which is relatively effective, for a big chunk of the population. You know, if you take them away in South Africa, what remains? But I need to emphasize that we need a bit more regulation. We need to address their safety record and driving behavior, but that is one potential solution. You know, another solution is looking at non-motorized transport facilities in your urban areas. How many people cycle in South Africa? Or a lot of people do work or walk, but how many people cycle to walk? Can we not address that?
If you've just joined us at home, you're not lost. We're talking transport. And if you have any questions related to that, I do believe that our Associate Professor of Transport Economics at Stellenbosch University would be happy to assist you with that. His name is Stefan Gijsman. And Stefan, bringing it back to you once again, though, we talk about our rail service, more specifically in the Western Cape. It is shocking, to say the least. What do we do? It almost seems like, you know, everyone's hands is tied. Is it as difficult as they're making it out to be? Or are there simpler solutions that we can implement?
Yeah, railways is very complex. They're very complex institutions. They're very capital intensive. You know, they're very expensive. And I do not believe we have the management capacity in this country to run rail service anymore. We've also underinvested the last couple of years, and we're sitting with an old system that is not really capable of handling the massive amount of people. And it can potentially be a very successful system. You know, rail is normally your backbone of your urban transport. It's a cheap system. It can be reliable. It can be effective. It's much safer. It's much better than buses. The problem is government remains a very big rail player in the rail industry. And the problem is that government actions, you know, they are always influential and often very decisive in either helping or hindering a successful railway industry. So we need to solve the management approach. You know, should it be a private company? Should it be a state-owned company? Should it be something in between? But I think that's where we get it wrong. We need to understand the management.
In fact, that's what I want to come up with next, in that the City of Cape Town says that it wants to take over the running of Metro Rail. Is that a good idea?
My question to them is, what do they want to take over? Do they want to take over the system, operating the system? Do they want to take over the tracks? Are we then not replacing one government agency for another government agency? Maybe, you know, few people know this, but rail was started by the private industry in South Africa way back. So maybe we should allow them again, or we should tender, put it out to contract or to concessions. I think that is maybe a better approach. You know, moving from one government-owned entity to another may not solve the problem.
All right, then. So if we summarize then, okay, we've got a railway industry that is frail, that has just not been keeping up with the times as it should have. We've got a taxi industry that's at least providing or supplementing some of our shortfalls. The question then remains, when we look at South Africa and to the future of South Africa, do we continue with the systems that we have, or does South Africa continue to look for newer, interesting, different modes of transport to introduce?
No, I think we need to look to the future, and we need to look what are the international trends that are happening. You know, for example, just electrical vehicles. What are the South African policy in terms of electrical vehicles? Now, if you buy an electrical car today, you won't pay a fuel levy. Now, the government depends on that fuel levy to build roads and to finance public transport. So if we don't look to the future, we may see our income base being eroded. We need to look at, you know, the Hyperloop. Not that is an option for us to consider, but that's the technology. And I think that the solution lies partly in new technologies that we will pick up in the next couple of years. But it also relies on, you know, building effective management locally to run the services that we've got.
I've just received an SMS right now, but I think it's talking more about the frustrations that people face on our roads, where it says that this is from Brian Nkomiki, saying that it's very difficult to drive around on the roads and stick to the rules of the road strictly. People try to bully you on the road to go faster and not stop at stop streets, etc. But I stand my ground, sometimes to my detriment. And I suppose it speaks to what you were saying earlier on, Stefan, that it's the mentality that we have in South Africa that it's not just about traffic. It's also about getting into the psyche of South Africans.
You know, if we get on the road, as soon as you get in your car and in this country, you think, you know, I'm the boss, I control the road. But that's not true. You share that space with everyone else, and you should act like that. And if you go to any other international country, people are actually very cautious on roads. But in our country, it is as if you get in a fight, you know, and you have to defend your road and you have to defend your car. And maybe it is an approach. I think you touched on it. It's a psyche of people.
And looking then to the future of South Africa, Prof, I mean, whenever we talk about transport, it's always, you know, years ahead that we talk of. You know, we are in 2017. Maybe you'll say in 2030 we'll be looking at better times. Is there a timeline to our issues when it comes to transport where we can definitely say that by this year, you know, there should be a much, much more positive improvement?
Yeah, the problem with transport, it requires big investment. There's normally, we talk of a 5-year turnaround time. That's what it takes to get you out of the current nonsense or out of the current mess. The problem is we have to start sooner rather than later. It's not something you solve overnight. It is a long process. But if you don't start today, you know, you postpone it with another day. And I think we need to get the process right now in 5 years' time. When we've invested in rail, when we've invested in new highways, in new public transport, we may see some of the improvements. And if we have this demerit system and we implement that demerit system, you know, people may start listening, hurt them where it hurts the most.
Stefan Kreischman is Associate Professor of Transport Economics at Stellenbosch University. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, sir. But before I let you go, seeing as we were just chatting about transport, and by the way, this has nothing to do with the interview, but last week we were chatting with the people of the Western Cape, and the question that we asked is, between CA and CY drivers, who are the West drivers? I'm hoping you're a CY driver, so you're going to say CA.
No, I'm a CL driver. I'll go for the CY drivers.
Another vote then for the CY drivers. Prof, thank you so much for joining us so early in the morning.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.